The afternoon sun reflected off the glass facades of the Navy Yard District as the city hummed with the standard rhythm of a Tuesday in the capital. It was a neighborhood defined by its proximity to power and its recent transformation into a hub of modern apartments and bustling storefronts, where the sounds of traffic usually blended into a harmless white noise. That familiar drone was shattered by the high-pitched whine of a small sedan engine, redlining in a way that signaled immediate mechanical distress. Pedestrians stopped in their tracks as a gray Honda Accord lurched erratically near the intersection of N Street and Van Street Southeast, with its driver's side door swung wide open like a broken wing. A man was clinging to the frame of the vehicle, his body partially outside the cabin, as the car accelerated with a violent jerk that seemed to defy the logic of the crowded city street. The tires screeched against the asphalt, leaving dark streaks of rubber, while the man struggled to regain control, or perhaps simply to survive the encounter that was unfolding in broad daylight. Bystanders watched in a state of paralyzed shock as the vehicle slammed into a metal fence and a parked car before flipping onto its side with a sickening crunch of metal and shattering glass. The silence that followed the crash lasted only a second before the screams of witnesses filled the air and the dust began to settle around the wreckage. Two young figures climbed out of the overturned car and fled the scene, while a man lay motionless on the pavement, surrounded by the debris of his livelihood. This was the moment the life of Muhammad Anwar came to a violent and public end. The reconstruction of the events leading up to this tragedy began with the victim starting what he believed would be a routine shift as a delivery driver. Muhammad Anwar had immigrated to the United States from Pakistan in 2014, building a life defined by hard work and the desire to provide for his family in Springfield, Virginia. At 66 years of age, he was known by his neighbors and relatives as a man of gentle character, who spent his days navigating the complex grid of the district to complete food orders. On March 23, 2021, he was operating his silver Honda Accord and had accepted a delivery that brought him to the vicinity of Nationals Park. This area was heavily monitored by security cameras and populated by witnesses, which allowed investigators to track his final movements with significant precision. Two girls, aged 13 and 15, had traveled to the Navy Yard area with a specific and premeditated intent to find a vehicle to take. They encountered Muhammad Anwar as he was sitting in his car, and they approached him under the guise of needing assistance or looking for a target of opportunity. The initial interaction was brief, but quickly escalated when the two teenagers entered the vehicle and attempted to take control of the steering wheel and the ignition. Anwar resisted the theft of his property and managed to get partially back into the car as the suspects began to drive away while he was still hanging onto the door. The investigation confirmed that the 15-year-old was in the driver's seat and the 13-year-old was in the passenger seat during the struggle. They did not stop the vehicle when they realized the owner was trapped, but instead chose to accelerate down the block. This decision turned a property crime into a high-speed struggle that covered several hundred feet before the final impact occurred. National Guard members who were stationed nearby for unrelated duties were among the first to arrive at the smoking wreckage to detain the suspects. The digital and forensic evidence collected from the scene provided a chillingly clear record of the crime, due to a bystander who captured the entire sequence on a smartphone. This recording became the central piece of evidence, showing the final minutes of the encounter with high-definition clarity and audio that captured the desperation of the victim. In the footage, Muhammad Anwar can be heard shouting that the individuals were trying to take his car while he struggled to keep the door open. The video shows the two teenagers inside the vehicle, appearing unfazed by his pleas as they began to move the car forward while he was still caught in the frame. Forensic analysis of the vehicle after it was righted showed that the accelerator had been pressed firmly, causing the car to reach a dangerous speed within a short distance. The internal cabin of the Honda contained personal items belonging to the suspects that linked them directly to the planning of the carjacking. Investigators recovered a stun gun from the scene, which the girls had used in an attempt to submerge the victim into compliance during the initial confrontation. The physical evidence on the pavement, including the skid marks and the impact point on the metal barrier, allowed accident reconstruction experts to determine that the flip was caused by a sharp left turn at high speed. Medical examiners documented that the cause of death was blunt force trauma sustained when the car overturned and ejected or crushed the victim against the hard surfaces of the street. The data from the cell phones of the suspects revealed communications that suggested they had been looking for a vehicle to steal earlier that day, indicating a level of intent that went beyond a spontaneous act. Every piece of technical data corroborated the witness accounts that the suspects showed no regard for the safety of the driver as they forced the car into motion. The legal proceedings followed swiftly, but were complicated by the ages of the two defendants, which triggered a massive public discussion regarding juvenile justice laws in the District of Columbia. Because both suspects were under the age of 16, they were prosecuted in the juvenile court system, where the primary focus is often rehabilitation rather than long-term incarceration. In April 2021, the 15-year-old pleaded guilty to felony murder, and the 13-year-old followed with a similar plea shortly thereafter. Under the terms of the DC juvenile statutes, the maximum sentence they could receive was commitment to the Department of Youth Rehabilitation Services until they reached the age of 21. This meant that the individuals responsible for the death of Muhammad Anwar would be released in a matter of years, regardless of the severity of the crime. During the sentencing hearings, the family of the victim spoke about the profound loss of a man who was the pillar of their household and an immigrant success story. The judge ordered that the girls be placed in secure residential facilities where they would receive schooling and counseling services while being monitored by the state. This outcome sparked significant debate across the country, with many arguing that the punishment did not fit the crime, while others defended the necessity of protecting the futures of minors. The case remained a focal point for legislative discussions concerning the rise of juvenile carjackings in urban centers and the effectiveness of existing laws. Muhammad Anwar was buried by his family, who launched a fundraising campaign that saw an outpouring of support from thousands of people moved by the tragedy. The finality of the case rests in the public record of a delivery driver who lost his life over a vehicle while the legal system reached its limit based on the birth dates of the offenders.